following production of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
The following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
Newton in the pocket, pressured and hit, and down he goes!
Von Miller!
He is devoured on the plate!
Von Miller!
Von Miller! The super defense!
The Denver Broncos are world champions.
Who cares?
It'll be interesting to see how Peyton handles this.
I'm going
to
drink a lot of Budweiser tonight.
What's the score?
Give me an F. Give me a C plus. I mean, I don't really, it doesn't matter.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Romo's got a run out and is hit in the back. Oh, he's hurt. He got bent in half, and Tony Romo's hurt.
Well, what do you think?
We'll go balls out with this.
We don't have time for all that.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
I only can control what I can control. I only can, you know, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Football's become soft. Football's become soft like our country has become soft.
Dad, I don't know what the hell catch is anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous.
T to the I to the LL to the Y to the ARD. What up, bitch? It's Tilly Art here.
He's gonna stick his knuckle in your asshole.
You like that?
That's gay.
Representing.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Duh.
My God, we already heard the football.
Take that, motherfucker.
And now, here's John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Everything I am is an illusion. Everything I am.
Breeze from the shotgun, retreats, Cook steps up and throws deep. Down the sideline, it's Cooks, and he's free. He's not going to be caught. He's at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown as Breeze looks for Cooks. 88 yards later, he's in the end zone. Breeze from the shotgun, throws over the middle, and this will be an easy touchdown for Michael Thomas. Breeze from the shotgun has time, guns it down the middle, and that's an excellent catch by Kobe Fleener, and he's going to score. Breeze in the shotgun, and Breeze is going to throw to Josh Hill. Touchdown. The official says touchdown in the corner of the end zone for Josh Hill.
Four touchdowns, John. Does this man not age or what?
It's a good thing because their defense can't stop anything. So he's got to do that. You know, they're like, yeah, that's what Sean Payton does and says, look, man, you still want to get this job, get out there and throw six touchdowns
right
today because you're going to need them.
Hey, you know,
and
he does it.
And hey, who's his wide receivers?
Brandon Cooks, who's become a hell of a receiver. Now they got the rookie out of Ohio State, Michael Thomas, who's really coming on. Willie Snead just got back from an injury. He had a few catches, but he didn't have his...
I rest my case. Any of these guys anywhere else, man, no way. You telling me Willie Snead is going to go to the Jets and work? He's going to catch passes?
I don't know, man. That guy works hard, dude.
He does work hard, and he's also got a guy that makes everybody who plays with him look freaking great.
And no, maybe not if he goes to the Jets, but, you know, look, Brandon Marshall's up there, and right now that whole team's struggling. They just benched their quarterback, who everybody was like, how can they not give him a huge contract, you know, and it was all that in the right offseason, and now he's benched. He got that one-year, $12 million deal, remember?
Not only is he benched, but he's benched for Geno Smith.
Yeah, Fitzhugha, whatever his name is. What's his name? Fitzwilliam. What is it?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick.
The Harvard horror.
Fitzwilliam.
The horror
from
Harvard.
Whatever, that guy. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. All right. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get back to Breeze here real quick. It's interesting when you listen to that montage of touchdowns, every one of them started with Breeze in the shotgun.
Right.
And he's always in the shotgun. Always.
Of course he is. Because if he walks up behind the center, dude, he's going to get his head stuck in the guy's asshole. Well, he's too short. His coach is going to be saying, look, he's going to be putting his helmet right in your asshole.
Right. Well, the thing is, all these quarterbacks, you know, that have been running the option in college, they're all coming into the NFL now. And you always hear the announcers saying, this guy never has taken a snap under center in college. So they're going to have to work really well. No, you don't.
Right.
You know,
you don't. You really don't.
If you're drafting them, draft them and have them run the offense, doing whatever made them great in college.
Otherwise, you're just going to keep trying to fit square pegs into round holes.
Right,
because
yes,
that's what colleges are doing. You're going to have to adapt your game. I mean, look how successful Chip Kelly is.
All right. I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 281. And coming up, Big Baby is back. Odell is back. Man. Goodell versus Belichick is back. The Soldier is back. The Controversy is back. Twisted Michael is back. And before we get to anything, I got to mention this. All right. So, you know, you and I always talk about this fantasy league we're in together. And you were taking on my undefeated son, Tyler, in fantasy football.
Yeah, he's ahead of me in the same division.
Right.
And, I was 3-1. He's 4-0.
No, he was 5-0 going into this game, and you were 4-1.
I was 4-1.
Yeah.
Right.
And you were crushing him after Sunday's games, all right? So you had
Sunday
night.
Dude, I was laughing at him.
You had Sunday night and Monday night left, and it looked like Tyler had no chance whatsoever. Now, he had three players left, but you're looking at this going, there's no way these three players can get that many points. Now, Tyler's team name is Machine X, and I get this text from John saying, quote, "Ask Tyler if his machine plans on showing up today." And Tyler responded, "No, they are currently undergoing maintenance and to check back later." And then John responds, "Tell him I'm on to Cincinnati." You know, you're going all Belichick on him. All right. So now, as I said, Tyler still had three players left. He had Andrew Luck and Adam Vinatieri in the Sunday night game. Colts played what? The Texans, right?
Yeah,
Texans. They both had great games. I mean, Vinatieri had what, four field goals in a game?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Dude, you know what? I wake up Monday morning to go to work, and, you know, I look at the tablet and I'm like, son of a bitch. All right, but he's still not that close.
Right. He's still pretty far behind.
Right.
And, you know, I'm looking at it going, there is no way one, you know, because he's got one player left in the Monday night game. And I'm going, there's no way one running back's going to go off and pull out this win for him. Well, enter David Johnson on Monday night. Dude goes off for over 100 yards and three touchdowns. And Tyler barely beat you. And then John texted me, "Damn, I left for Cincinnati 4 points too soon."
4 points in our league is 4/10 of a goddamn point.
Right.
4/10 of a point. At the end of that game, David Anderson sneezed, and the fantasy football people went, "Hey, that's 4/10 of a point." And I was like, fuck.
It's 4 yards is what it is. That's really
right.
It's 4 yards is what he lost by.
I had the highest score of the week. I was cruising. I was absolutely cruising. And what happened on Monday morning when I looked at the score, because I went to bed at halftime figuring it's a dull-ass game and the ref can't get out of the damn way. What'd they call, like 12 penalties in the first half? It was ridiculous. It ain't going to be too much more. You know, they're going to run it out. They're going to beat up on the Jets. The Jets haven't got anything going on. They're not going to run it up on them. Well, here's the sound that happened when I got up on Monday morning. Jesus Christ. I mean, really. That is the narrowest of margins to lose by. If we were neck and neck all the way down the line on Sunday, man, I'd have felt a lot better. But no, dude, I was ahead by like 1,000 fucking points. Good game, Tyler.
Is that like the phrase, "Don't count your chickens before they hatch"? Is that where that comes from?
I've never raised chickens in my goddamn life. I got on the bus, Tom. I started cooking the potatoes. I played the game to win and went to bed.
Oh, man. So now Tyler's 6-0, and I get to face him this week.
Well, please do me a favor and beat your kid.
Well,
that's right. Anybody who wants to take that out of context and get Tom into trouble, go right ahead.
Hey, Roger Goodell can't suspend me, man.
He's not going to suspend you. He's not even going to suspend a guy that beats his wife.
All right. Before we get too far away from New Orleans and Carolina, we got to talk about Cam Newton. You know, he's Mr. Showman. He is Mr. Showman. He's ready to smile big for the camera and make his first down point. I know. Oh, he quit dabbing this year. Maybe he needs to go back to dabbing.
Yeah. You know what else he quit doing? Handed out balls after touchdowns. Maybe he has. I just haven't seen it very much.
Well, he might be a showman when he's winning, but damn, he's a sore ass loser, man. This dude needs to grow up. He really does. I mean, come on.
I don't know. See, this is what we went through with the Super Bowl. You know, what do they want him to say?
I know.
How much?
I know.
What do they want him to do?
No,
how much of a?
No, no, no.
Just tell me the dance, and he can do it.
No, I know. The Super Bowl. I felt like the Super Bowl was different than this.
Yeah.
I felt like he was frustrated after the Super Bowl. I mean, it's the Super Bowl. I get it, and I know he was frustrated, and the way they were coming at him, I thought was a little ridiculous. This time, and I'm going to play you the audio, I just felt like he was just being a dick.
Oh, yeah, well, sure, he's entitled.
Is he entitled? Well, I guess, I don't know. We'd have to see if his contract, we'd have to see if there's a clause in his contract that says you are not allowed to be a dick.
He's allowed to be a dick. When he loses to the Buccaneers, he's allowed to be a dick. By the way, just so happens, Tom, I got the info. They brought the Broncos defense over, and they were on another side of the curtain after he lost to the Buccaneers, so they were whooping it up just to fuck with him.
Well, here is, you know, and this, we had this great game, 41-38, and it that was an entertaining game. They need to get a game like that needs to be in prime time, and we'll get to the ratings here, and right after this, we're going to get to the ratings.
Right.
And
right,
but I want you to hear what he had to say in his post game press conference.
Just doing what I'm asked to do.
Second drive, you guys had passed a bunch of those intercepted. What happened there?
Just miscommunication, lack there of execution. Just got to be better.
Olsen said that y'all scored 38 and should have had 50. Do you buy into that?
That's what Olsen said.
How did you feel physically?
Feel all right.
Any lingering effects?
No, sir.
Just talk about the emotion of the game.
Just got to find ways to win the football game.
Is this as disappointing as you've been in a while, Ken?
Next question.
The slow start, this has been a kind of characteristic of the team this year. Why do you think that keeps?
Just got to find ways to win a football game.
After tying it up there late in the fourth quarter, how frustrating is it to be on the sideline helpless watching?
Next question.
What? Where did the team go from? That's it, right?
Yeah.
And he walked away. I you know what? I know, doesn't that? Oh my God, that drives Belichick nuts. I've seen him get angry about that.
Oh, the clicking noise, the cameras.
I've seen Belichick get pissed off about all the noise.
Yeah, you know, look, you're not fooling anybody out there. It's all fucking digital anymore. Just turn the damn sound effect off.
Right. Come on.
You know, it's Jesus Christ. It's goddamn. It doesn't need to make that noise.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. You know what I would start to do if I'm one of those reporters? I start asking him things like, Cam, why do you think that Lucky Charms are magically delicious?
Hey, Cam, do you think Kim Kardashian was really robbed or do you think it was faked?
Cam, is this loss more like watching your puppy get hit by a car or your grandma falling down the steps?
You know, but as I listen back to it again.
Yeah.
During that time when he was answering the questions, he was just, you know, he was making the answers very short.
Right.
You know, it was stuff that...
He was Marshawn Lynching it.
Yeah, but he wasn't even being that bad because he did, you know, they said, how you feeling? He said, I feel good. He said, no lingering effects. He said, no, sir. And, you know, and so he just very quick, one or two word answers, you know, we got to find ways to win. And, you know,
right.
You know, and so really it was okay. But it was the fact that you could tell he didn't want to be there, and that's okay, too. Then he just got up and stormed out.
What he needs is a safe space, Tom.
I mean, 90 seconds he's there. He gave 2.5 minutes at the Super Bowl. That's a minute left. Less.
Oh, you're talking about his press conference. I thought you meant the actual effort he put forth in the game. The number of times his offense moved the ball. No, you know, the thing is, it's the dog and pony show. What else more do they need? Do they really need him to explain what he really thinks about Greg Olsen saying what Greg Olsen said? Who gives a fuck? That's why he said what he said. It's what Greg Olsen said. So what?
Well, and I will say, you know, Cam said, what did he say after the Super Bowl? Or not during the press conference, but when they were, you know, people were questioning what he did in the press conference after the Super Bowl. He said,
I don't like to lose.
No, he said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser.
A loser, right. Right. You know, and they make him come out right after the game.
Well, I know, but when they win, he wants to be on that camera. That's what I mean. He wants to be smiling. So I guess if you want the spotlight when you win, I guess you kind of have to accept the spotlight when you lose, right?
I think he did just fine in the spotlight there. He gave us all something to talk about. What else is he supposed to do?
I mean, because, you know, look, hey, you people have been listening to us for 12 years. No, we like the goofy shit. We like the drama. We like end zone celebrations and showboating,
right,
and all the crazy stuff. I mean, it's all part of the entertainment. And you know what? we keep talking right. about Goodell pussifying this league, and maybe, just maybe, John, all this other crap that I hear all these people talking about when it comes to the TV ratings this year, maybe it's just because Goodell keeps fucking it up.
He does keep fucking it up.
And for what you have been saying for I don't know how many years now, there's too yeah. many goddamn rules and too many flags, and it slows down and messes up game after game after game.
Dude, the third cartoon I made was back in 2003, and it was a bunch of stick figures. As a matter of fact, one of them's name was The Stick, and it was yes. Marvin Harrison's superhero yes. character. Yes. He was hiding behind an umbrella stand.
That's
remember?
Right.
Right. Well, in that cartoon, Commissioner Tagliabue had the fucking Frankenstein Monsters rule book on the table. He was, looking to make this the biggest thing ever. So, yeah, they have tried to legislate football out of football. Look, you know, the Redskins, they gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown this week, right? Because they had to kick it off 15 yards short because Vernon Davis turned around and shot the ball over the goddamn goalpost like a basketball.
Right.
I mean, granted, it's in the rules, but holy shit, it's in the rules!
Right.
You get gotta out, be kidding me!
Get it out of the rules.
Yeah, what's the matter with you that? Know, now,
let them celebrate! Yeah. For God's sakes, let them celebrate!
Just a little bit. You know, I heard Doc Walker on the radio this week say something that was very pertinent to this. He goes, you know, these are people that have reached the pinnacle of their entire profession, of everything they work for their lives, and there they are, right there in the moment of success. Jesus fucking Christ, let them play a little bit! They can be happy.
And now, if we don't have enough rules and enough things slowing it down with the stupid way they do the replay system, now they're talking about interference being reviewable.
All right. We've said that for years. Interference is one of those calls that can change a game, and it's completely subjective.
Well, that's right? that's why they're thinking it needs to be reviewed, because it can give up such huge chunks of yardage.
Right. Now, you know what I'd be in favor of? 15-yard penalty. Your first down, 15-yard penalty. I'd be in favor of that.
Isn't that what college does?
Yeah, I'd be in favor of that. I think it makes it fair, because a 15-yard penalty, let's face it, when a game changes on something like that, it's because it's downfield. It gives a good, it's a big chunk. Or it's not, like, and you're Richard Sherman and you get away with fucking blatant goddamn pass interference.
Oh my God, that was unreal.
Right, but yeah, so make it a 15-yard penalty. It's still a big chunk of yardage, and it's still a first down, and you're still out there fighting to keep him out of the
end. All right, but here's the thing. What if it's a Hail Mary? At the end of a game, you could just tackle the receiver. Well, it's only a 15-yard penalty.
Well, there you go. That is a pickle right there, isn't it? That is something I would definitely tell my players to go out and do.
But that would be a defensive penalty, so the offense would get another snap.
So they could just do it all the way down the field? One after another till they're at the 2-yard
yeah.
line.
Yeah, now we're opening up a different can of worms. I think, you know, when a guy's beat on a bomb for a touchdown, that's the only thing he can do to keep it from being a touchdown, and then they get it first and goal at the one. So, you know, if he doesn't interfere, they're going to catch a bomb for touchdown. But
right.
because
yeah,
he
interfered,
you know,
that,
you know so, yeah. Well, you don't, but he didn't let him find out, so.
I got that. Yeah, I get that. And there are times that I definitely agree that you interfere because, okay, they get the ball at the 15-yard line or whatever, but otherwise he's gone. Game, you know, that's it. If you could have interfered, if the Ravens could have interfered with Odell Beckham last week before he went off on his stupid shit, I bet you they would have.
All right, so here's what I'm going to tell you. I have two parts to this. One, yeah. We got to let them review interference. Got to yeah. let them do it. And and two, we got to get rid of the replay system as it is and make it like college, because as we've talked about before, you and I and every other, you know, football fan in this world watches a replay from four angles in about 20 seconds and knows
right.
immediately if it's a good call or a bad call.
Right. Well, apparently, if you listen to the last couple of years of shows, I don't, because I've gotten a few of them wrong.
You mean the replay?
Yeah, sometimes I haven't seen it the way that you've seen it. But that's all right. And you know what? There's other referees that would come in and say, no, John, you're an idiot. Look.
But you're going to have one replay official, and he's going to call it how he sees it in the replay, regardless of whether I agree with it or not.
Right.
But he can sit in a booth, and as soon as the whistle blows, every play, he should be looking at it. And then we don't have to stop. We don't have to stop. As
right.
soon as there's a question, he can go, that's a good call. And it, okay, go. Good
right.
call.
College, you know? The Big Ten, don't they review every single play?
Yeah.
They don't stop everybody. They just, if something comes up, if something pops up, then they stop everybody. Yeah.
No, because you can review the play that fast that you don't have to worry about interrupting the game. They don't, you know, they don't snap the ball before you've finished reviewing the play. So it's fine.
Right. And 95% of the plays really aren't something that needs to be reviewed anyway.
Right. And if something's really close and you need to take a little extra look at it, they just tell the referee and he says, you know, this play is under further review, and might be 15 seconds goes by and he says, okay, it's good.
Right.
You know, it's nothing. Why we have to have this circus where they go and crawl under a hood and do it's
and,
like, oh
and
my
wait
God.
For somebody else to tell them what they see.
I know.
They have to walk all the way over there. It's like 100 yards away.
It's so stupid.
It is dumb as shit.
So that's part of it. That's part of the problem. Now, you look at the primetime games we've had this season, man. Come on. Oh, my God. Well, of course, Miami and Cincinnati. Do you remember that Thursday night piece of shit?
Yeah, but they had such cool uniforms. Remember that? They were bright fucking orange, right?
And what was week two? The Jets and the Bills and the all green and red?
And they were the Jets. That's the funny part. It was Jets. They forced us to watch the Jets. How about, you weren't up for last night's Brian Hoyer broken arm fest?
Oh, yeah.
It was 6-3 for most of the second quarter, I'm pretty doggone sure. And then each of them scored. But really, Matt Barkley is now a quarterback in the NFL. This brings me to something else, Tom. All these rules, they haven't protected anybody. Look at the freaking rosters. Everybody's riddled with injuries. Everybody that plays fantasy football, how fucking hard is it to find a running back?
Well, now, wait a minute, man. I think they're looking at concussions.
I get that. Now, see, that's the stuff that happens afterwards, because they haven't prevented the things that cause the concussions. What's changed is the concussion protocol afterwards to make sure that they don't come back before it's safe, which is fine. I don't get a problem with that. But, dude, just as many of them are as missing time over concussions as anything else, because they haven't been able to stop the smacks to the head because it's physically impossible.
I know.
And it really is. In a lot of cases, it's physically impossible. So, I think a lot of the reason that the ratings are down is, the first thing I want to know is how does the red zone get counted? And two, there's so many penalties and there are so many people that get hurt because they're not allowed to tackle in practice. They're not allowed to tackle in preseason, in preseason, but in training camp, and they're pussies. They get out there. They're not used to getting hit. That's right. I just called a freaking whole NFL a bunch of pussies.
I'm not going to call them pussies. I can't.
But what I'm saying? They're not ready to be hit. So things happen. They get tweaked. They get doinked. And how many guys are on IR?
Okay. Well, here, look. But injuries happened last year and the year before and the year before that.
I get that. But at the rate that they're going, they haven't changed anything. That's my point. All of this trying to change that doesn't help.
But I don't think that has anything to do with the ratings. I think the problem with the ratings are the primetime matchups, because that's what we're looking at, the primetime games, because those are the ones that are supposed to get the most viewers. Well, okay, yeah. But it's the Colts and the Texans. What do they got, 3-4 wins between them?
Yeah, they're like market number 32 and 31. Well, Houston's probably a little bigger.
And they're not winning teams either.
Mm-mm.
Okay, all right, no. So you got these two playing on Sunday Night Football. And they got 13.6 million viewers. And now I also want to say, what you were talking about, you said, what about red zone? How is it counted? And well, how is the, I have the split screen. I have eight games at 1 o'clock. I got eight games on at once.
But I think they count because you see commercials.
I know, but I've got different networks on. So you can't, they can't count me for two different networks at the same time.
I think they probably should.
I don't, but they can't.
I think they should. God damn it. Look, the reason why I watch the Texans, and they're again on, I think they're on national TV this week again, is because I'm waiting to watch that coach bust Brock Osweiler upside his fucking head on the sidelines.
Well, it's the channel I'm talking about is 702. It's called the NFL Mix.
Right.
And it's, like I said, I wonder, I highlight which one I want to hear the sound of. Okay.
Maybe that's the one that it counts at the time you're looking.
Well, that's what I was just wondering, if maybe the one I put the highlight box on so that I can hear it, that game is the one that maybe counts. I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know. I really don't think they're getting hurt.
Now, what game Sunday night would have gotten monster ratings? The Packers and the Cowboys. It would have.
Yes, it would have.
Okay, that should have been your Sunday night game, and when you look at it, the OT, which is the Fox post game show, you know, your favorite guys, Howie and Jimmy.
The OT.
And
with Terry Bradshaw.
The OT is in overtime.
The OT with Kurt Menefee and Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah. Okay, so when it started, it had 15.4 million viewers, and the game wasn't even over yet, so that's why.
Right.
So you got a daytime game getting over 15 million viewers. Imagine what that would get in primetime.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, Fox isn't giving that game up to go to give it to NBC just for the hell of it. Why should they?
I don't know how they decide that.
Well, I think that Fox buys the NFC package.
No, I know that, but I don't know how they decide which one has to give up, because you know Sunday night they're supposed to be scheduling like the best game of the week.
They're supposed to be they're able to flex, but I think the flex doesn't come into play until later in the season.
Yeah, that's not till December. But yeah. they are supposed to schedule what looks like the best game of the week, and you can't tell me that the Colts Texans was the best looking game. I would think that New Orleans Carolina would have been.
Are you kidding? JJ Watt? Are you kidding?
Yeah, but come on.
I know. He's not even playing because he's hurt, just like everybody else.
Well, but the schedule was done before he got hurt. I understand that. But come on.
Houston made the playoffs last year. Didn't Indianapolis make the playoffs last year? So they look at it from that perspective.
No, Andrew Luck was hurt all year, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. They didn't make the playoffs, and I had picked them for the Super Bowl.
And Brock Osweiler was in Denver.
Right. He played for, I think, four games, got benched, and then now he's down here having a feud with his coach in Houston.
Yeah. I know. So I don't know. I just think my God, you could have put how about the Redskins and the Eagles? That would have got huge ratings at night.
Yeah, that was a good game. I'll tell you what. You know what happened on the first play? Carson Wentz got his jersey torn to shreds. It was hanging off of him, and then they got him again on the third play. That was fun.
But you look at the top five shows of the week.
Okay.
The OT was number one.
Right.
Thursday Night Football. Well, NCIS was number two. It's always up there. Thursday Night Football. Now, look at that. Thursday Night Football.
People are hoping.
Sunday Night Football. No, Thursday Night Football beats Sunday Night Football.
Oh, shit. Who was last week on Thursday Night Football? Who was last week?
That great game between the Broncos and Chargers. The Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, there you go. That's a rivalry game. They actually got a good one scheduled for that. And they probably had a good one scheduled for this week, even though if it would have been Jay Cutler, you'd had a different feel for the game, because at least they're both at full strength. You can at least pull up something as a fan that's not with those two teams for the rivalry to watch it. Because, you know, it's Bears-Packers. If you're a football fan, you want to see it. But you're watching Matt Barkley, for God's sakes. Matt fucking Barkley.
Well... I don't know, man. I just don't think that's... Bears-Packers is a great choice for Sunday night. And we'll see what they did in the ratings next week.
Well, they were last night. That was Thursday.
Or Thursday night, yeah. Yeah, just last night.
Phil Sims. And I don't blame you for being...
And that's a better game on a Thursday night.
Look, I did some research. Jerome Boger, right? You know Jerome Boger? Jerome Boger, who is the star of NFL football... His crew leads the league in average flags per game. They have thrown, on average, per game, 162.4 flags and are on pace, Tom, for 10,732 penalties this year. I think he gets paid by the flag.
Maybe.
No, actually, it's over 20, Jerome Boger's crew, and they are leading the league. So if you see Jerome Boger is in your game, get ready to get pissed. Your game's going to last forever, and you're going to have to listen to that stupid son of a bitch explain why he just threw another flag and it's going to penalize your team for something really stupid.
I think he just likes us talking about him.
I think he likes to just talk. I think for him, because he does it so slowly, I think he sits there, he's got one of them hats that's got a straw that comes down and just feeds him bourbon all game long. So he's like, you know what this field needs? Some yellow hankies on it. Look at that. Woof. And he throws it down. Then he comes out and goes, hey, everybody, Holden, that dude.
Then you go in fourth place, you got the Big Bang Theory, funniest show ever in the history of television. I can understand that. It's, you know. To me, it is. I've seen every
episode. The funniest show in the history of television, I'd have to sit here and think for a minute, but it ain't that one.
For me personally, It is. Right.
That's fine. That's fine. You hang around with me so we see where your taste lies.
Hey, man. I don't know how much you watch that show, dude, but...
I do. I watch it. It's funny. I like it.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? I mean, Jesus.
Funniest ever? I don't know, man. There's been a lot of really funny
Maybe you'll jar my memory, but throw one out at me that you can think of off the top of your head that's funnier.
There's nothing coming off the top of my head right now. I am focused in on how these TV ratings are tanking. Maybe they ought to let Sheldon call a game. Phil Sims.
No, put them all in there. Put all four of them in there. Give me Sheldon and Leonard and Raj and Howard. Put all four of them in there, man. Oh, my God, that'd be great. All right, but anyway, and then so in fifth place, Colts Texans. So NFL football, three
still
of the top five shows of the week. I'm not feeling sad for them.
No. They're like, look, you know, I got to tell you, Roger, I only sold 464 billion cases of beer last week. That's down 2.4 million cases of beer. You got to step this shit up.
So, yeah, I just think we need better matchups. You know, like, again, we're talking about last night. You had the Bears-Packers. Well, I mean, look.
And we need to get the rules out of the fucking way, Tom. We need to get the referees out of the business of deciding games.
Yeah.
They're interfering in the games. For the record, I think we ought to have Mad Max-style NFL. No rules whatsoever.
Congratulations to your Redskins.
Thank you. That was four in a row, baby. That was feeling pretty good. Whipping up on the Eagles is great, and I really do wish somebody would get a hold of that shredded-ass Carson Wentz jersey and send it to me.
Well, I'm just happy, you know, that you guys just keep beating each other down. We just keep moving up.
Now you're one game ahead. Yeah. You're one game up.
And already beat you once. So
I know, and that's the one game, and I got it. I get it. I get it completely. I bow down to that for right now. The defense has stepped up. There's been personnel changes. They haven't given up a second-half touchdown, I think, in something like eight quarters.
I know you didn't win, but, boy, Odell Beckham was back for you, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. You know, it's good to see it, especially when he does it to the Ravens, even though I tell my sister that I'm with her all the way with the Ravens. I'm really not.
And then Odell married the net that he got in a fight with before, remember?
Yeah, we've seen this before. It was called Chad Ochocinco. I mean, come on, really. This is freaking old hat. Come on, OBJ. You can do better than this. You wanted to show me something? Get down on your knees and pretend you are blowing the goalpost.
Yeah, but you know what? The media was always cool with Chad. I mean, they would get into it a little bit, but they seemed to be fond of him. And I think for Odell, better to be Chad Ochocinco than to be T.O.
Definitely. T.O. was poison. Chad Ochocinco, they knew that they could walk in after he had gotten a concussion and he'd entertain him for 2 or 3 minutes before a trainer came over and took him away.
Right.
It's one of my favorite clips we've ever had.
Okay, let's rock.
How badly were you hit there?
I don't know. I can't remember. How did Biden do, guys?
Hey guys, I think we're going to have to let Chad rest here. He's
Now he's yelling at Hugh Jackson, who's now the coach of the Browns.
I'm trying my hardest, Hugh.
The guys are trying as hard as they can.
Oh my God, that's just too funny.
Was Chad up in, did they have him in Cleveland? Was it Cleveland or Cincinnati where he was being a wide receiver coach?
I think he was actually in Cleveland, and he only lasted a couple of days before he said, this is too hard, fuck it.
They said, hey, Chad, what can you do for us? And his response was,
you know, in Liberty City, I was a three-time Charles Hadley Poole champ.
Yeah, you want to whoop up on Michael Phelps, I can show you how to do that. But I ain't getting out of bed for no two-a-days.
I was listening, you know, I've been listening to all these past podcasts. I'm up to like 124.
Right.
And the one I just finished, if it was that one or 123, one of those two, was the one where you were actually here in Columbus and we did the show together.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That, you know, we did that from a sauna, just in case anybody wondered.
Oh, shit. But anyway, yeah, so Chad had started using Ustream. Remember the self video thing?
Yeah, that lasted all of about 5 minutes.
I know, but we could, and we got in that 5 minutes, and you could type to him, and he was reading what you typed, and we were kept typing, three-time Charles Hadley Pool champ, and he's reading along, and then he goes, what's this? Three-time Charles Hadley Pool champ. That's right. I am. And dude, that was the greatest. We kept trying to get him to say Bang Cartoon Radio too, but we never could get him to say that.
You know, when we did that kind of shit, when they had those things, I always felt like I was like leaning over the fence trying to get the dog to see me. Woohoo! Hey, boy. Hey, boy.
You know, we probably, you know, the thing now.
Periscope.
That's the one. We got to start finding some NFL people that are using Periscope.
We should do it during a podcast one time. Y'all can actually sit here and watch me make the sounds that you think that I'm doing something illegal.
No, you know what, though? You do way better on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Facebook Live is great.
Yeah, you could just do that.
I guess I could.
But we're not in the same place, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I know. So people need to send us donations. That's the bottom line. No matter what it's about, we need a donation.
Okay.
Christmas is coming.
All right. So let's move on to the true problem behind the TV ratings. Is there anything else you'd like to add on the Redskins?
No, I once you said that, I'm all ears.
Okay. The true problem with the ratings is Roger Goodell.
Of course. That son of a bitch.
Yes. All right. So talking about Roger Goodell, you know, we had Bill Belichick slam the Microsoft Notepad.
The Microsoft tablet.
Well, Roger Goodell has come out in defense of the tablet.
Of course he did. Bill Gates called him up and said, Roger, look, we've got a lot invested in you.
All right, here he is.
We're proud of our relationship with Microsoft. We think they've got a great product, and we think they've done a great job in advancing technology into our game. We get a lot of feedback from our coaches of how we continue to make that better. They respond to that, and we'll continue to do that. But it's changing the game. It's changing it for the better. We're proud of that relationship.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Why the fuck does it keep asking me for my goddamn password? Didn't you give it a password?
He's just talking. He's talking to the money. He's just talking to the money.
He is, but I also have a feeling that Bill Belichick had a senior moment.
Well, Belichick didn't say anything toward Roger. Belichick just said he's done with these fucking tablets.
For me, personally, it's a personal decision. I'm done with the tablets. I'll use the paper pictures from here on because I just have given it my best shot. I've tried to work through the process, but it just doesn't work for me.
Not at all. I try to call a goddamn draw play. I set the fucking alarm clock, and that goes off 2 minutes later, and they call me for illegal procedure. I don't know what the fuck's going on. You know, his fingers touch the wrong things. How come YouTube's opened up? What the fuck is this? God damn it, where's my freaking run plays? What the hell is this? Jesus Christ, fantasy football. Who's playing this stupid shit?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
What is this? Two girls, one cup. What?
What the? Oh my God! Jesus Christ! Gronkowski, what the hell have you been doing?
Oh wait a minute! I might want to watch this.
I have yet to see that, and I will go to my grave not watching that.
Oh, John, you got to live a little, man.
Now what?
Jesus Christ!
You got to live a little.
It's insane.
I know. It's what I want to. You know what the hell? Why not? Fuck it. No, thank you. It's all right. I've heard enough about it that I can visualize if I really have to.
Well, here's our Belichick clip of the week where he's being Belichick.
You know, Rob was.
I'm sorry. He's talking about Gronkowski.
You know, Rob was a big factor in the game. Big target. Made a nice catch on the touchdown. Thought that was a good throw and a good catch. Rob made a real good catch. Made some big plays.
It was a good throw, good catch. Rob made a real good catch, big play. It was good.
He ran fast. I saw him. He ran fast. He put his left foot down fast, and then he put his right down real fast after that, and he raised his arms up real good. Did you see that? And his pants stayed up. His pants stayed up. That's always
He never says anything. He says more syllables by saying nothing. It's so admirable, man. Right. But here's a clip of Bill Belichick, and he actually shows up as a human being, announces the birth of his granddaughter.
We have a roster addition to announce this morning. It's a little different than the usual one, and the emphasis would be on little. We can add newborn Blakely Rose to the depth chart. She was born this morning to my son, Steve. So this is a happy and exciting day for all of us. And with that, we'll move on to the Steelers.
So he actually, yeah, try to ask him a question now.
Yeah, she cried good, Tom. She sleeps real good. She lays there good and quiet. She's very light. Yesterday, she made a poopy. That was good. Consistency was good.
You realize, all right, I'm going to go ahead and say the obvious. I'm going to say the thing that everybody's thinking, because nobody wants to say this to Bill Belichick, because they don't want to wreck it for him. But God damn it, that's a stripper's name.
You think?
Absolutely. That's going to have panties with dollars in it. Well, it's going to be 20 years from now, so $10 bills in it. The economy's going to tank. We're going to be living in Trump's America. She's going to have to.
Trump's America. That debate was ridiculous. I can't even deal anymore.
I'm not even going to go there. I had to say it once. I think we're contractually obligated.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what the best debates to watch are?
What?
The Saturday Night Live debates. Oh, my God. They are friggin' hilarious. I mean, Alec Baldwin is perfect. I can't remember the other girl's name, but she's perfect.
Trump hates him.
Oh.
Trump hates him.
Trump needs to get a sense of humor.
Well, aside from that, he needs to stop taking everything so goddamn personally.
Oh, I know. Well, it's been a very personal campaign. I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Now.
Hey, look, you know the best thing that's happened in forever is that Alec Baldwin stopped trying to be that sexy leading man that they started him out as and decided, you know, I'm pretty goddamn funny.
Have you watched him on the new Match Game?
No.
He's the host.
No, I haven't.
It's the old Match Game, but it's the new Match Game with, you know, current celebrity.
Do they use that old?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. One of the people, there's six of them, six celebrities.
Right.
Alec Baldwin is the host, and he's fantastic. But one of the six celebrities this season was Sarah Palin. I mean, it was.
Oh my God!
It was great.
What do you want to bet her answer was? It was blank. You said so,
John. It's great entertainment. They get.
What is this on?
Well, before the season started, it was on Sunday nights during the summer. But you can go online and watch them. I mean,
all right, yeah, I guess I'll have to. Is Charles Nelson Reilly? Did they dig him up and put him back up there?
It's no,
they should let somebody pretend to be him. Just so he can go, oh, Sarah, shut up.
Hey, did you ever watch the whole Rob Lowe roast?
No.
Oh, you got to do that. It's still replaying. You got to watch that, man.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not a, you know what I've been doing? I've been playing Skyrim.
Oh, for God's sakes. Grow up, John.
I'm 5 years behind everything on games, and, you know.
I never played it at all. Grow up.
He's telling me to watch Match Game.
I watch Match Game and play Candy Crush Saga. Come on, man, get with the program.
Oh, all right, yeah. Stop sending me those freaking requests on Facebook if you don't mind.
I never send anything. But here's the thing: they're making a TV game show out of it. Out of Candy Crush Saga.
Oh,
it's gonna
God.
Be, and you can play from home and win. And I'm gonna friggin' dominate the world.
That's funny.
It's pretty sad that I've beaten over 2,000 levels of Candy Crush Saga.
My tablet died. I've been playing Angry Birds 2 for about a year and a half now.
So okay. I don't feel so bad now.
No, it's something to do while you take a crap. Let's be honest.
All right. Well, I do want to get back to Trump because Tom Brady finally did speak.
You see what reminded Tom of Trump, right? Something to do while you take a shit. Oh, yeah, we're talking about Donald Trump. Sorry, let me get back to that.
All right, well, so here's Tom Brady on his relationship with Donald Trump.
I met him, you know, I guess probably 16 years ago. So we've just, you know, played golf together many, many times. And, you know, I've always had a good time with him. So, like I said, he's been a friend of mine. He's supported our teams for the Patriots. He's been on the Patriots sidelines a lot, you know, and always called me, you know, after games to encourage me and, you know, over the course of 15 years. And that's kind of the way it is.
Man, I had no idea. You know, I mean, I knew that they had met. I didn't know how much. I mean, I knew they were.
This is not new.
I mean, it's like they're good friends.
Yeah, I mean, they're okay friends and stuff. But I guarantee you this. They're on celebrity pro-am tournaments. You know, they get into those things. And Trump has always been somebody that's been outgoing with crowds at Brady and them like that. And I guarantee you that a lot of the people that he's done these kinds of things with, they do like him. All right, he's going off the fucking complete deep end. He's completely off the rails with this campaign. I don't know what the hell's going on with. I mean, he's just let the crazies do everything with it. Well, and he's gone crazy.
Isn't that why he is the nominee? Is because people were sick and tired of the status quo and the same old crap. And look, I'm hearing. Look, you could go back 4 years. You could go back 8 years. I'm hearing the same exact words spewing out of Hillary's mouth as I heard out of Obama's mouth. Same exact stuff.
Well, I'm not going to get into all of that, but
it's the same stuff.
He's Frankenstein's monster gotten off the table. That table's been building for a long time on this.
Maybe really the president's just not that important, John.
Well, we're more important. I'm going to go ahead and say so. But Tom Brady, as far as I'm concerned with all of this and all these people that are talking about, oh, look, he's got a hat in his locker. So what? Here's what I have to say about that. It used to be considered impolite to fuck with somebody over who they're voting for, to even ask who somebody is voting for. It used to be considered to be one of the taboos of society. It's not your business, all right? And whatever he wants to do with his vote, that's up to him. And if you're one of these people that are going to put people in camps that say, okay, if you're with that guy, I can't even be associated with you. Dude, you got a problem. Relax.
Look, first off, they've been, like he said, they've been friends for, what, 15 years. So that was long before Trump ever was a politician of any kind. And he's still really not a politician.
Yeah, he was in a bus with Billy Bush. He was talking about trying to fuck Tom Brady's wife.
Exactly.
She wanted to go furniture shopping. I said, hey, I got a footstool for you right here.
And by the way, Tom Brady and Giselle, you've seen the kind of money they make. If Trump becomes president, they stand to save a lot of tax dollars.
And besides, think about it this way. He saved us. Because while Trump's on the campaign trail and Tom Brady's sunbathing nude, they could have been sunbathing nude together and we might have gotten that picture.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I got to take a break and get that out of my mind.
And now, things Joe Buck can't say on television.
I wish Troy Aikman would put on his Super Bowl rings and fist me till I fart diamonds.
VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Yesterday, two Carolina Panther cheerleaders were engaging in sexual activity inside a bathroom stall when they became entangled in a catfight with a third woman. Both cheerleaders were arrested and spent the night in a women's prison. We here at the NFL would just like to say, awesome. The NFL. You ain't gonna see crazy ass stuff like that in baseball. Okay, we
got you. Hi, this is Sean from RoboFlex, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Bury me with my guns on, so when I reach the other side, I can show him what it feels like to die. Bury me with my guns on, so when I'm cast out of the sky, I can shoot the devil right between the eyes.
Fourth and goal, Badgers of the Buckeye 4. Hornibrook in the shotgun, gets the snap, back to throw. Looking, the left-hander pumps, and he's going to be sacked and dropped right at about the 16. Nick Bosa, Sam Hubbard, and others with a game-ending sack in overtime, and Ohio State comes from behind to defeat Wisconsin 30-23. The Buckeyes remain undefeated in a whale of a game here in Madison.
Man, Hornibrook, he pumped John, and then he was gang-sacked.
Tell you what, that was a damn good football game. I've been down on college football because it's almost like it's all offense most of the time. But that was a damn good football game because Wisconsin didn't go away, man. They were not going down easy, and Ohio State had to make stop after stop after stop after stop. I liked it. I enjoyed watching it, even though the wrong team won. Now this week, I believe it's Penn State, Ohio State.
It is.
So, be easy.
Yes, it is. Hey, man. Dude, last time, hey, look, a couple years ago, Ohio State was pretty damn good, and they escaped with an overtime win in Happy Valley.
Well, let's hope we can do better this time.
The Buckeyes, I agree with you. Thank you. Yes.
No. Come on, let's go Nittany Lions. Come on, baby.
Let's hope we can do better than an overtime win. Let's have a blowout.
Who's Michigan playing this week?
I don't know. But, you know, again, you were talking about defense, man. There's some defense in the Big Ten. And look at the ratings, or the rankings, rather. Look at the Big Ten. And again, it's kind of cool that I'm listening to all these past shows, because we said things back then, some of which has come true today that wasn't at the time. And one of the things I said I'm on 2009 right now, is, you know, because we were so sick of the SEC winning. Right. And they've won a lot since, but I was talking about how, you know, people think, well, this is it. This is permanent. No, college football it has always been and always will be cyclical because of the turnover. And, you know, when a coach, look, Jim Harbaugh, boom, he's at Michigan. Well, Jim Harbaugh is going to recruit very well at Michigan. He is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well.
And it doesn't hurt that he's got a gigantic, you're right, it is cyclical, but it's always cyclical among the same group. Who are the outsiders that ever really get in? The last time in the Big Ten, I mean, Wisconsin has been good, and then they're not so good, and then they're really good, and then they're not so good. Iowa starts to tickle at it, but really, and other than Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State prior to all of the scandals when all their best coaches got thrown in jail and died, you know, since then, it's been dominated by Ohio State and Michigan. And it's always that way. When was the last time Ohio State was truly a down program?
Well, I mean, just a couple years under Tressel, but John Cooper's reign was horrid.
Horrid? How long was that?
14 years long, John. We won 2-10-1 against Michigan.
When was this?
John Cooper throughout the entire 90s?
Throughout the entire 90s? Well, that explains a lot. I was kind of, I was doing things that definitely erased part of my mind.
Oh, my God, man. I remember Eddie George, the year he won the Heisman. I want to say, what is that, 95? Eddie won the Heisman. We had Eddie George and Terry Glenn, and that team was loaded, and they were undefeated, and all they had to do was go into Michigan and beat the 8-3 Wolverines, and some guy became a household name that day, and it was Tim Biakabatuka, and he ran for over 300 yards in that game and just destroyed our entire season. And Michigan did that, three, four times. Ruined perfect Buckeye season.
Yeah, but rivalries do that, though.
Well,
you never can tell in a real rivalry. I mean, a real rivalry. I like to pretend that Ohio State and Penn State has a rivalry, but it's nothing like Ohio State and Michigan. There's no way it's even close. But I'd say Penn State-Iowa is a tougher rivalry in terms of, you know, actual how close they are together, at least.
Well, here's the thing, and you'll remember, because we had him on the show once, and listeners who were listening a long time ago will remember, Demetrius Stanley, who was a wide receiver in the 90s for the Buckeyes, played for John Cooper, and he said for him, personally for him, three times, they had a perfect season going into Michigan. He was on all three of those teams, and they lost every one of them, because every single time they played Michigan, Cooper would change everything. He said John Cooper would change. They changed the quarterback one year. They just changed to played the other quarterback. One quarterback won every game. One quarterback wins every game. And then they
Shem Beckler had something on him.
I mean, come on, man.
Shem Beckler had something on him. I guarantee you. Shem Beckler had some dirty pictures of his wife or something.
Yeah, but no, because this would have been not Shem Beckler. Who was after Shem Beckler?
Lloyd Carr. You're getting back into my eraser days.
We're talking about Lloyd Carr.
I don't know. I can tell you where my care meter on that is, though.
The only reason I even brought up the Buckeyes was because of this one clip from Urban Meyer. He was talking about JT Barrett. Now, listen to this.
He's a soldier. He's a warrior, and he's a guy that fights through adversity, and I knew at some point he was going to go win the game for us.
Well, now, if everybody remembers, I believe it was the early 2000s, because Miami was on top of the world. They won a national championship. Of course, then they lost a national championship to my Buckeyes in 2002.
This is what happens with global warming, just to make it clear.
Kellen Winslow Jr. When he was playing for the U, he was talking about come playing in a game where you know, guys take shots at him, and right. he was talking about if they come at him, he's going to retaliate. And here's what he said.
If I didn't hurt him, he'd hurt me. They're gunning for my legs. I'm going to come right back at him. F-ing soldier.
He's a fucking soldier, right, Tillyard?
I'm a fucking soldier.
Right.
He's a motherfucking soldier. And you're going to pay him accordingly. Tillyard.
So Kellen Winslow Jr. and JT Barrett are soldiers.
Well, here's the thing, man. When Winslow said that, he caught all kinds of hell for that.
He sure did. I remember this dickhead cartoonist made all kinds of fun about it. They even put him in the paper in Cleveland.
Oh my God, Kellen Winslow was great for the cartoons.
Yeah, he acknowledged it.
Yes.
Anyway, yes, he did. Ahead.
Well, okay, so, you know, and look, I know what he means. He's not claiming that he's in a war and his life is in danger and, you know, he's running from bullets, but the people who came out against him made it that way. You know, like, how dare he say he's a soldier? His life isn't, you know, he's not dodging RPGs and, you know, machine gun spray and you know, carrying blown up bodies. All, you know, come on. And so, you know, it's like, could people get a grip? But they'll rip him for that. I don't hear anything about Urban Meyer calling JT Barrett a soldier.
Well, it's because it's Ohio State.
Is that what it is? Come on.
That's what it is.
Come
and
on.
Aside from that, people have more things to rip people about now than just that. That's minor. That's already been ripped. And besides, everybody knows playing for Ohio State is like carrying your dead buddy over piles of guts just to get him back to the safety of your own lines.
Is that right? You feel better now, John?
No, actually, I don't. I was hoping to fart during all that, but it didn't come out.
All right. So anyway, enough of that. I mean, look, the Buckeyes are going to win it all this year. Everybody knows it.
Come on. I don't know, Alabama, when we're talking about defense. Now, we're going to go get into it again, but we'll have to save some time next week to discuss all that.
Well, there's nothing else
to
say.
After Penn State hands Ohio State their first loss.
Okay. All Sorry. Right.
I have to.
What else are you going
to
do? Oh, what else are you going to do?
I'm going to have another drink. Cheers, Jeff.
Hey, man. Happy Valley is a tough place for any team to play at night.
Especially if we don't tell them which night it is. If they show up on Friday, we got an easy fucking cruise on Saturday. Anyway, let's go.
So after the Cowboys and Packers game, you know, they're all over Aaron Rodgers' case. Man, he was like one of the greatest darlings of the NFL, man. And he's just, he can't get anything right. And but he has the solution, John. This is what he said. This is how he's going to fix things.
You'll have a glass of scotch and chill out a little bit. Watch the film, and you know, I'm my biggest critic. You know, I look at this as finally as I look at every other game and improve.
Yeah, everybody just relax, John.
I'm going to have a glass of scotch, let Olivia Munn blow me while I watch the film. That's right. You guys go home and write about what I'm about to talk about. I'm going home and getting laid with Olivia Munn, and then I'm having some scotch and watching some film and going, hey, Aaron, you know, if you throw it a little lower that time, or if you put it a little to the outside, that guy will catch it. Dude, I'll tell you what. He sure handled the fucking Matt Barkley-led Bears last
night. Well, good God. you know, one thing about the Bears, I don't get it. Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard has been ripping the field up every week, and all of a sudden he gets 7 carries, and they give more carries to Kadeem Carey. Kadeem Carey?
I think Roger Goodell has something to do with that. Kadeem Carey, I believe, has pictures of Roger Goodell. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me.
Okay.
Phil Simms told him to go ahead and try that.
All right, well, it didn't go as well for, you know, the Packers against Dallas. And I'm blown away by my Cowboys right now. That was impressive. That really was impressive to go into Lambeau and win convincingly like that.
I tell you what, though, and you know, and I'm not trying to make any excuses because the Cowboys have been very impressive, but the Packers just don't look right. They just don't look right, and it's not those stupid all white color rush uniforms, if that even makes any sense.
Okay,
they look off.
They come into the game the number one rushing defense in the league.
Come on, Tom. Who have they played? Look.
No, and then that's right. And I said that. I even said that I even said that before the game. I was talking to my wife about that. I said, what, you know, they haven't. They really haven't played many good running. I mean, the Giants, Rashad Jennings was out. And what, Orleans Darkwa, okay.
They've gone through four running backs. I don't even know who their running back is right now.
Perkins Rashad Jennings is back. Rashad's back.
Oh, woohoo. Have a fucking parade.
But no, you're absolutely right. They had, I mean, you know, Detroit's running backs, or it's musical running backs up there right now.
Shit, they just signed Justin Forsett off the street and gave him like 12 carries.
I know, because everybody else is hurt. All of them.
I know. That's what I was saying earlier. These rules haven't helped anything.
Okay, but regardless, at some point, I'm going, okay, you guys can make excuses for every game the Cowboys win. That's okay. I know you said you weren't trying to make excuses, but you can make all the buts you want. The fact of the matter is, the Cowboys have already won. They've already won more games than they won all of last year.
Right. Absolutely. You know, you should be proud.
They're not squeaking them out here. They're winning convincingly.
They're getting out front, and they're scoring touchdowns. Look, they got the number one rushing attack in the NFL. Look, I'm old now. I don't give a shit about all the machismo. I can definitely say I have respect for the Cowboys' offense. It's definitely good. The defense has to protect the lead.
And I said the line is just so crazy good. But and that's
when
thing.
Was the last time they were threatened? When was the last time they were put in a situation where they had to score in the second half to win the game?
John, they were down 14-0 in San Francisco.
Oh, come on. You see, this is where I don't buy into that there's such a thin margin. This is San Francisco.
Well, I mean, they were down 14-0 in San Francisco.
I know, but you know, getting down 14-0 in San Francisco, that doesn't say much to me. That's like saying, oh my God, I'm drowning in butterscotch pudding.
You asked when they had to come from behind. I told you.
I wish Troy would come from behind. Pull my hair plugs. Call me Trigger, Troy. Oh my goodness. Anyway, you were making a point about the Cowboys.
You are not right.
These are things you can't say on TV. But you were making a point on about the Cowboys.
These are things do not pop up inside anybody else's brain. I mean, seriously. Wow.
I don't want to know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, all right, so whatever, they're playing great. All right, whoever they're playing against, fine. They're playing great. They also beat your great Redskins, who have won four in a row since.
Hey, I get it. I, like I said, I got nothing but respect right now until the next time we have to play each other. But because the Redskins' defense is a lot different than it was then.
Say it, John. Say it. They haven't beat anyone. The Cowboys haven't beat anybody.
I didn't say that. Say no it. Way. There's no say way I'm going to say anything like that. The margins are so thin, Tom. They're like razors.
That's great. I'm having so much fun this year.
But Tony Romo should get his job back.
Okay, and that's where we are right now. Dak versus Romo. We know what Marshall Faulk thinks.
Once you go Dak, you don't go back. What?
Yeah, but what happens when you go Romo? My dog even thinks so.
Your dog's barking homo. Homo. Homo.
Yeah, look, I tell you what, I do think that they should stick with the hot hand. Stay with Dak Prescott.
You know, we had that clip of Favre last week. He agrees. Don't mess with the chemistry. Play when you're needed, Tony. That's what he said. But let's see what Steve Mariucci says.
They don't attempt to throw the ball down the field much at all. And so Tony would give them that, you know, that part of the playbook that has been limited recently.
So he said that, and then Howie Long said they would be better with Romo. He said, I understand the love affair with Dak, and they're winning, and everybody says don't mess with the chemistry. I get that, but they will be an even better team with Tony Romo. That's what Howie Long said. No. And believe me, I've heard more people say don't change it than I've heard say let Romo back in. I kind of, for one, because of the momentum that's going on and the chemistry and everything, I don't want Romo's first game back to be the Eagles.
Dude, the Redskins just marched up and down the field on him. We held the ball for damn near 42 minutes of the frickin' game. The Eagles did not get on the field from the second quarter till the third quarter for an hour and 12 minutes.
Right, and we can do the same thing to them with Dak at quarterback so that Romo doesn't have to come in and be rusty and fuck it up.
Right. Because nobody likes a rusty Troy Bone. Anyway, the point being is, I think the Eagles are paper tigers. He is a rookie quarterback. He's a rookie freaking quarterback. The Redskins, whose offense has been, you know, pretty good except for during the red zone, dude, they held the ball on the Eagles as if it was a piece of candy they were keeping away from a baby. You can't have it. The Cowboys should be able to run the clock out from their first possession.
I agree because of the line and the running game. But I did see, you know, you were talking about Wentz being a rookie quarterback. I saw some rookie and Dak on Sunday as well in the second half. I saw some.
You got to protect him. Yeah, if you protect him, he can make some plays. And I mean, he'll make a couple of mistakes.
Right. And he's very mobile. If he has to get outside the pocket, that's not a problem either. He's extremely mobile. He's way more mobile than Tony Romo for sure. But
I'm glad you had to say that. I would have fucked that all up. Mobile Romo Domo.
So anyway, I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, I see good side and bad side to both.
Who do the Cowboys have this week?
They have a bye week.
Oh, they're on the bye week, and then they come back against the Browns.
No, they come back against the Eagles.
The Eagles?
Yes.
I see you can't put Romo in after the bye week. He'll only last a few plays. The dude ain't even played preseason.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I know, and I agree with you.
Let him come back the following week against the Browns. Perfect. If you're really going to bring him back, if you're going to say, all right, we're going to give Romo a chance, then let Dak start the game against the Eagles. If Dak starts to struggle in that game and it starts to get bad, then put Romo in and see how he does. But if that game's going fine and they're controlling the clock and it's looking like they've got a good chance to win, then let Dak play that game and then let Romo play against the Browns, because look, what's his name that came in for Hoyer in Chicago?
Oh yeah, Barkley.
He could beat the Browns. Come on,
Barkley, who I always hear that's a dog's name. The Bears are being led by a beagle.
listen, it all boils down to a couple of factors, and gentlemen. Well, as you can expect, there are currently there are very brisk sales of the Dak Prescott jersey. This year we're going to be coming out just before Christmas with the special edition Zeke Elliott Ford Ranger Series, Tom. Very big ticket, very desirable to the Dallas Cowboy demographic. So this time we're not anticipating sales of the Tony Romo merchandise that we had planned for the year to even come close. I mean, damn, he's been playing for so long, we're running out of things to do. He can only buy so many jerseys. So this year we were going to roll out the Tony Romo sing-along karaoke microphone, so I'm perfectly happy with the way it's going right now. Look, if he hadn't gotten hurt, people would be buying that stupid goddamn thing. And you know they would, but they ain't. And, you know, you don't fix what ain't broke unless I goddamn well tell you to.
Michael Irvin I can't really get a read on him. He seems like he can't decide either. But what Michael does love, regardless of the quarterback, is Ezekiel Elliott. And he loves it when Zeke talks football.
He loves himself.
Well, here's what Michael Irvin said about listening to Ezekiel Elliott talk about running the football.
It's just about pounding people into submission. I'm like, man, dude, I'm telling you, man, when I listen to this boy talk about running the football like that, it just makes me want to go in the bathroom and spend some time by myself. You know?
I
just love it so much. Yeah, you know, them young days.
We are all excited. I understand.
Time by yourself. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
You know? I just love it. I just love this dude, man. But that's exactly what wins in this league.
Jack it off in the bathroom, Tom. That's what helps you win in this league. You know, the first time he ran for 100 yards, I was in the bathroom jacking off. So every time since then, I go in the bathroom right around the middle of the second quarter, and I pull one out. So he's leading the league in rushing.
Well, John, we've got some audio. I don't know if I should play it.
He's going to go in there and pleasure himself.
We've got audio of Michael in the bathroom, man.
Go, Ezekiel.
All right, hear it. You ready for this?
I'm with bated breath.
And he's done.
That's a lot of chewing. I tell you what, there was parts of there it sounded like he was doing the old Ron Jeremy, the self-fellatio bit there.
I am flexible. Ezekiel, come and see the wheel.
Up and then I'm gone.
Oh man, you know they have him. They have him doing some stupid shit on NFL Network sometimes. I wish I have to get, because when I upgraded to Windows 10, all my capture software went out of freaking date, so I got to redo that. So I wish I did, because he's got some good shit that we're missing. Anybody all that's right out there that tapes that show, I want the Michael Irvin sound effects.
Did I have anything else? They asked Jerry. They asked Jerry about Romo coming back.
I don't have any idea. No one does as to what the situation will be a game or games down the road. We don't have any idea. We don't have to be definitive and draw any bright lines right now.
So Jerry doesn't know. That's right. Nobody knows, he says.
Now, that was taken out of context, Tom. I was looking for my car in a parking lot. They said, where's it at? I said, nobody has any idea. This is exactly why I bought that goddamn $85 million helicopter. Anyway, I'm about spent. Well, you know, we have been very undisciplined this year.
Just with time.
I know. We've been very undisciplined with time, which, by the way, is a human construct. So we can do whatever the fuck we want with it.
We haven't been undisciplined with the performance, and that's what's important, John.
Oh, absolutely not. I have managed to watch my language almost all the time.
Whatever. What do you think, Tillyard?
I'm a fucking soldier.
Yes, sir.
He is. Tillyard.
Ah, man, I miss him.
What a bitch. I know. See, we're pining for Tillyard. We haven't ever been able to replace him. Anyway, we do need some listener emails. So hit the thing over there and send us some messages, man. We want to have some fun at the end of the show.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about this, John? I think Tillyard is so good with his introductions.
Yeah.
You know, when he would say, this is Bang Radio Hour number, whatever, and he'd make
right.
a comment. And he'd make a comment, you know, and then introduce us.
It was almost as if it was a Shakespearean sonnet, Tom.
I think we should just give him, I don't know, give him a few percentage of the donations if he'll do that. But he's got to do it every week.
Tell you what, if anybody wants Tillyard to be on this show, you hit the donation button now. This is a limited offer.
But let's give him a percentage. Obviously, it's going to be a small percent. Yeah. All he's got to do is send us an intro every week, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. He can make some money off of it. It's better than your bronies.
Well, I didn't know if maybe
mint off those damn bronies.
I didn't know if maybe that was the issue.
You know what? You know what? You know how he got big over there with the bronies? He was over there. Look, I know John and Tom. I really do. I sent them pictures of my cat.
Oh man.
So okay, yeah, that's a good offer.
That's funny.
We'll see how fast he responds. He usually listens to the show within the first 2 hours of me putting it up. Or at least that's what it seems like. Anyway, he responds relatively quickly. And I like that because he's our fact checker in a lot of spots.
Well, you know who else we haven't heard from? And maybe you have, and I just didn't realize it. Does Dallas Ace, is he around anymore?
No, Dallas Ace, I don't know what happened to him. He probably discovered girls. You know how it goes.
Well, he's got to be in his mid-20s. He grew up with us. You
right.
know,
well, see, here's the thing, Tom.
He's going to get married and have kids one day, and he's going to tell them, you know, back in my day, I used to listen to the greatest podcast on the internet.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I used to be part of a comic book shop, all right? Late 80s, early 90s, for about 8 years there, 7 or 8 years there.
and it did quite well. All right, but here's what I noticed. Those kids like Dallas Ace, they do. They discover women, they go off, they go to school, they have a few years where they're out there, and then they drift back. Right about age 26, 27, they come back in, they buy a Spider-Man comic. Or they come back in and they say, hey, you know, those guys were funny. I remember them, and look, there they are. And he's going to listen one time, and he'll be hooked again. He'll be right on back. Writing us stupid fucking emails about his goddamn Dallas Cowboys. I'm amazed he hasn't actually stepped in and talked to me about Dak Prescott.
See, I'm wondering if we need to pay Tilyard, because you remember Chopper. Chopper wasn't having it. I mean, he'd been on a couple times, but, you know, remember what he said?
We paid that guy that caused the car accident so Chopper would sound like that. I mean, how much do you want to invest in this?
Chopper wouldn't keep doing it. Remember, he said this.
I am also not your fucking scapegoat.
Right.
Scapegoat? See, we never blamed him for anything except that accident that fucked his brain all up. We need to stop this. I'm gonna have too many things to drink. I'm gonna say something I regret, which never happens. Oh well, where are we at?
We're at the end, right, Chopper?
I've come to the realization I'm running out of fucking beer. God damn! I might have to go to bed.
All right, later.
Bang! 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 Here I come! Bang!
You've been listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater. Your rings are a lie. You back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Whoa! Shell saltwater supercars. They look fun.
Science-fueled fun, actually, Dad. Toy cars that run salt water.
Fuel the family fun with Shell saltwater supercars. Fill up with £30 or more, and you'll qualify to buy a car from just
£3.99. I want one!
Okay, Dad.
Fill up on fun with saltwater supercars at Shell. Participating sites, conditions apply. See shell.co.uk/saltwatersupercars for details.